The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Free agency frenzy is about to kick off for the Chicago Bears, so I grabbed Lester Wilfong and Jeff Berkus to preview it all on this episode of Bear With Me. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Bear With Me, a Chicago Bears podcast hosted by yours truly, Robert Schmitz, right here on the Windy City Gridiron Podcasting Network. And it is officially off-season time. We're recording here on Saturday, midday. Tomorrow starts the NFL Network's big coverage, where I'm sure we'll hear plenty of pre-tampering rumors, then enters the strange legal tampering phase, which might as well be the start of free agency. It's a bizarre name. I mean, a true loophole made into a 48-hour I'm not doing any work today frenzy where I just stare at my phone. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but we've got a wild couple of days to not only recap but also preview, and I'm here with both Lester Wilfong, Jeff Berkus, the cast, if you will, of Bear and Balanced, as we get to go over Bears free agency. So let's start with where I think we can only start, Jeff. The Mac trade, the Tariq Cohen cut, the Goldman release. How are you feeling about recent moves that Ryan Poles has made?
So the Mac trade surprised me a little bit. I think that the compensation was maybe not quite what we were hoping for, but they were able to get out from the contract completely. And that is the main motivation, I think, for something like that. You get another top 50 pick, which is going to be good in a draft where you're lacking those picks. And it gives Ryan Poles some ammunition to try to remake this roster a little bit. I do want to mention that Khalil Mack was acquired to try and get some star power. And he did that. He delivered on that. And you can talk about the production maybe not being quite what you want, but he came in and he was a first-team All-Pro performer in his first year. He got the only non-Aaron Donald defensive MVP vote that year. And he was the quiet face of the franchise for the time that he was here. And to make this point, he was the chosen bobblehead for the 100th year anniversary that the Chicago Bears sent out to their season ticket holders. They sent a George Halas bobblehead and a Khalil Mack bobblehead out. And then they gave one out at every game. But the season ticket holders got the founding with George Halas, and they got the future with Khalil Mack. Now, they didn't put Mitchell Trubisky on that bobblehead. They put Khalil Mack on the bobblehead. They knew who they had. They knew they had an all-performer, that all-world performer. And so he filled that role. Now, again, whether or not you think that the trade paid off, I think you can make a pretty strong argument that it didn't. He did serve what it was that he was brought in for, which is a premier player at a premier position. And he did quite well when he was healthy and on the field for his 4 years here.
Yeah, for me, I looked at the Mack trade at the time. That was Ryan Pace looking at his roster. They just went 12-4. They lost in the playoffs. And he's thinking, hey, this is going to be the piece. This is going to put us, you know, push us over the top. We need that premier stud on defense. You know, the offense is pretty good. And then they made the big trade. And it just never panned out, because I always talk about the offense. The defense can only get after the quarterback if the offense is putting up points. If the offense is not putting up points, you know, then you can't do that. So the fact that the offense failed this franchise the last few years, that kind of devalued the impact that Khalil Mack could have had. I think if the offense would have been better, we would have saw more from Mack. Obviously, you know, we would probably still be in the old regime. So things happen for a reason, and I think right now it was the right time to trade Mack. A 2 and a 6, that's the market. That's what the market dictated he got, and I'm okay with it.
So I love this move. And it's not that I hate Khalil Mack. I need to make a full disclaimer here as I dive into my side of it, that the NFL is a heartless business, and everybody knows that, right? But if I can make the argument that Khalil Mack, who is an over 30 pass rusher that hasn't had double-digit sacks in the last 3 years, is coming off of a foot surgery after 3 years of up-and-down injuries that some of them kept him out of games, some of them made him kind of a non-factor in games, and obviously he missed about half of the season, and Chicago's going to pay him, I think he had a cap hit of $28 million or more over the next 3 seasons, and you're still trading him for about $20 million to whoever team comes to him, so he's expensive, that's not much value when you phrase it that way. And if I can phrase it that way, somebody's agent sure can, right? Somebody on the team side sure can. So the fact to me that they pulled a second rounder, and sure, they got a sixth rounder too, but they pulled pick number 48. People keep talking about how Von Miller pulled back two third round picks. One of them was number 64. Like, we're talking as low as it gets. I think that was a second rounder, technically.
Yeah,
but
the second and a third.
The 48 is a way stronger pick than 64. The number matters, right? It's like how we used to talk about how Nick Foles got traded for a fourth round pick. That was a fourth round compensatory pick, which is a huge difference from a pick at the top of the
fourth
round.
Let's not get JB going on the Nick Foles thing.
Look, it's not about that. It's it's more about, to me, the fact that they pulled that kind of value out of somebody of Khalil Mack's caliber, who, again, there are a lot of reasons to not believe in him. The way I see it is, what would you trade in the NBA, which, weird example here, for LeBron James at 39 years old, right? Khalil Mack at this point is going to be fighting an uphill battle to maintain the status that made him the apex predator. And he was an awesome Bear. And they gave him a $22 million a year extension. And then they took loans out of the Bank of Mac. They tripled down on that mortgage to make his cap hit just monstrous. It, to me, was the right time to get to trade Mac. It was the right time to move on. And it was the right move because that move alone bumped the Bears' 2023 cap space from $93 million to over $120 million. Like, the freedom it offers the Bears going forward is just insane. So I love Mack. I think he was awesome for this franchise. I will not speak an ill word of him, but I do think that the value, frankly, if anything, I think the Bears got maybe more than he might have been worth. And I know that that could be a salacious thing to say, but I mean, how much is a pass rusher worth in a trade? As Von Miller showed us, even the cheapest can only be worth about 350 points on the Rich Hill chart. Mack ended up with about 420.
Well, let's make the point, though, with the Von Miller thing. Von Miller is a little older, obviously, and Von Miller was in a free agent year, right?
Right. Yeah.
So the big thing, though, with that was Denver was willing to eat $8 million of his deal. And so the Rams don't have the money. And so they were looking for a cheap rental as possible. And the Rams were all in. The Rams are going for a Super Bowl, and they got it, right? So they're willing to give a low second and a low third round pick for this pass rusher, which Jay felt was going to put him over the top. And it did work out, right? But Denver also ate $8 million of that. And so the finance piece is really important because Khalil Mack had multiple years left on his deal.
Many.
And the Chargers assume all of that cost. The Bears did not eat any of it because the cap relief was more important to them than the capital in the draft, which, you know, they're both important, but I think polls went for that first. And then from the Chargers perspective, I think it's a good move for the Chargers. I think that the Chargers are my second team. I will say that I like the move, and I like that I still get to cheer for Mac, and I think that he gives the Chargers a very interesting 1-2 pass rushing punch. And so that defense is now going to be you know, legitimately up a notch, and he gets the work with Jay Rogers and Brandon Staley again. So this is one of those situations where it works on a lot of levels for a lot of people. And I'm happy for Mac. He's going to land in a comfortable place. He's going to be able to compete. That Chargers team should be pretty good next year. And the Bears move on from a great player. I think that's always tough, but the reality is in their timeline of what they're looking at for in terms of competing, the balance of where they have their money, offense to defense, they needed to shift that. And so it is what it is. It's maybe not as much as Bill Zimmerman would like. It's maybe not as much as I would like in terms of the capital that's returned, but you do get the cap relief. And I think it allows you to then reset and start to move forward in the Ryan Poles era. So overall, I think it's a good trade for both teams.
Right. And like we're seeing in the comment section, I feel like the real key here when you're judging this trade is that was Khalil Mack going to be worth the $30 million in cap number at 33 years old in 2023 or 2024 compared to what he will be worth to the Chargers as early as 2022? One team is ready to go. The other team is not. This is, to me at least, the rare win-win-win. It's a win for Mack. It's a win for the Chargers. It's a win for the Bears. And it's frankly probably a huge win on all fronts. It was the rare moment where the business of the NFL is hardest on the fans, but I think from 30,000 feet looking down, this was a great move for all parties. I'm stoked about it. It, again, polarizing in the eyes of some, but to me, this was a great and gutsy move by Ryan Poles because, sure, win-win-win, like I just said, but trading Khalil Mack is going to rub a lot of fans the wrong way, even though it was probably the right way to start.
Yeah, from a fan perspective, you know, we always look at draft picks. We always look at, you know, what do they get in return? But, you know, these teams look at it differently. They look at the money. They look at the books. And for them, it was more about the money, the fact that the Chargers were able to take a lot of that money on and free them up. And now the roster's in a spot where, yeah, this next season may be a struggle. But, you know, 2023, let's open up the purse strings. Let's get some talent in here. That's what it's all about. Ryan Poles knows that, and that was a good move.
And I'll tell you what, Lester, to me, I know one thing I kept thinking about was with Quinn slated to make big money and Eddie Jackson slated to make big money, Max slated to make huge money. I was trying to figure out how a Roquan extension made any sense, especially with what linebackers are getting paid right now. We're talking upwards of $20 million a year. But with Mac traded, a Roquan Smith extension does make a lot more sense. I mean, you put $18 to $20 million on that cap. Maybe it's an overpayment. I mean, again, we're talking about a linebacker, right? Defensive values, I think, can be really hard to judge. But it's much easier to swallow than looking at a defense that has almost $100 million invested into four players. Now it's down to three, right? You've got your three crown jewels in Jackson, Quinn, and Roquan, at least for now. Wouldn't surprise me if one of those players ends up on another team here in the next 365 days, but we'll see. I think that, like you said, that cap flexibility is huge, especially if they go the extension route with some of these guys.
Agreed.
What about the other cuts? You want to talk about chicken salad, Tariq Cohen?
Of course I do. Anybody heartbroken over those two?
Look, I really like him. One of my favorite players to be on the Bears in a long time. A lot of fun to cheer for. When he went down with that injury, you know, you hope for a clean recovery. He clearly did not have that. And wasn't able to get on the field last year at all. Wasn't able to pass the medicals, and they released him on that. Did have some injury protection on that contract. So again, he still gets, you know, which I'm always going to cheer for the player. I'm always going to cheer for the player to get paid. So he you know, he had that protection in his contract. He gets the payout. With that, I hope that he's able to make a full recovery and contribute for someone. I'll cheer for him wherever he goes, as long as it's not that team up north. And I like the player, but it's a very easy decision for Ryan Poles to move on from somebody who couldn't get on the field. And it's, you know, the third running back. You know, Khalil Herbert showed out as a capable backup. You got David Montgomery. You're going to need a pass catching back that you feel good about his health and that can rely on. That's someone that you can get either late in the draft or someone that you can bring in on a vet min or close to vet minimum deal. So it makes a lot of sense that they moved on from him, but it is significant because he's a fun player. He was a fan favorite for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I think Eddie Goldman not coming back at full force really surprised a lot of folks. I think a lot of people were much more ready for 91 to assume the mantle of where he had been in 2018, 2019. And in 2021, he wasn't. So to me, his release makes a lot of sense. Another classic example of somebody who the Bears probably shopped around for a market, but you call enough teams and the teams talk to each other, they realize that this guy's getting cut anyways. And so he'll hit the open market. I'm very curious to see what happens to him. I mean, we heard rumors of him retiring as recently as a year ago. So we'll see what happens. But like you said, Jeff, I mean, Tariq Cohen at camp last year, almost a full year removed from his ACL surgery, could barely jog, like certainly couldn't jog without a limp. It's not to say that that means anything specifically, but for crying out loud, when you've got a 5'6 running back who is electric and I love him. I mean, I still think that his 2019 regression was more emblematic of the Nagy offense getting figured out, for lack of a better word, than the player specifically depreciating. But I mean, how much agility can a guy like that lose before they're just a 5'6 guy who's getting smoked out there on a football field? Like, you're not talking about, I think somebody said it this way. If Tariq Cohen was a 6'6 defensive lineman with the same injury, or an offensive lineman with the same injury, they'd probably still be out there. But we're talking about a running back who was already basing his entire skill set off of his agility that lost a lot of lateral agility. So I don't know where he's at in the recovery process, but to me, both of those moves seemed like no-brainer business decisions by the time they hit the wire.
Yeah, it's tough with Cohen because you hear that he can't pass his physical right now to play. So, you know, as fans, we all want to see him do well. But, you know, that was a tough injury at the time. And when it happened, we're all like, oh, it's an ACL. It'll take a year to come back, you know, but the year came and went. And you know, he never came off the PUP list. So, you know, of course, there's a lot of speculation. Was there a second injury? Was there a setback in training? You know, who knows what happened? But the fact that he can't pass his physical, you know, I think as fans, we all wish him the best. And like you guys said, you know, we'll cheer from wherever he goes, unless it's Green Bay. But, you know, he kind of fits a role for the Bears where, like you said, Montgomery and Herbert are your 1-2. Cohen would have been that third guy, the somewhat slot receiver guy at times. So this move is, again, it's the cap relief this year a little bit, but it's more cap relief in the future. And that's what the Bears are going for. Ryan Poles is looking towards that 2023 season.
Yep. And close the book on Eddie Goldman. The scheme fit is no longer there. Like, Eberflus defense is going to be a little different. He doesn't really fit in there. You know, it was time for him to move on from a schematic standpoint anyway. I think all of the other noise that we've heard, we're going to see, right? If he ends up signing somewhere and playing the year out, then, you know, he wasn't ready to retire. Maybe those rumors were a little bit overblown. But, you know, there was probably some at least consideration for him that he was maybe at the end of his football playing career from a personal standpoint too. So it's just a good time to move on from him. And, you know, really like Eddie I like Eddie Jackson. I also like Eddie Goldman. You know, going to miss him as the player that we all liked when he was developing up, but he's clearly just not the same player that we were hoping for when we were paying him that much money. So it's fine. You know, moving on from him as well. Any other big moves?
No big moves specifically that really happened, but I want to comment, Jeff, that you mixing up Eddie Jackson and Eddie Goldman is, I just want to openly apologize to all Bears fans for the amount of times I'm going to refer to Ryan Poles as Ryan Pace. There's nothing that I can do about it. I mean, they hired a new GM named Ryan P, and as I keep trying to talk to friends about it, he keeps slipping in there. So I'm sure Ryan Pace is going to remain a piece of the Bears like fan vernacular for at least 2 more years or something like that. Hopefully we can get fully converted by the end of this next season.
Well, let me say, do you guys think that anybody else will get cut, bigger names that'll get cut or moved before the season?
Danny Trevathan is the one that makes the most sense. I mean, he just older, injured, and plays a position that's really not, you don't pay that position in this defense. So I think, you know, with Roquan going probably to the weak side, I think you cut Trevathan, and then you bring in a lower cost guy at the Mike or the Sam. And, you know, there are a few others, you know, Jeremiah at the Chow. He may not be the best scheme fit. He'll save you like $1 million or so. There are a few minor moves, but I think the Bears roster is in a good place for this reset because there's only like 40 guys that even signed, you know, do you think it's a good place.
Do you think when the musical chairs stop that someone is going to talk themselves into Nick Foles.
I was about to say that.
Sorry, it's your show, Robert. I should back up.
No, please don't worry about it. It's a show on the Windy City Gridiron Podcasting Network for all I care. But to me, anyways, the Bears have one of the premier backups in the NFL on their roster. Now, whether the league still feels that way, honestly, I actually don't know. So I may walk that statement back. But the Colts don't have a quarterback on their roster if you don't count Sam Ehlinger, which I'm not going to. So outside of, like you said, Lester, Jeremiah Atuachu, I don't think that the Bears are going to cut Nick Foles. The $3 million to me isn't worth it. He is a nice veteran presence, say what you will, and having a good backup matters. But $8 million of cap space they could save if another team, even like Indianapolis, decided, hey, we trade for Nick Foles, worst case scenario, we got a cheap backup quarterback or maybe a cheap starter. Best case scenario, we draft somebody on top of that and Foles warms the seat before the new guy's ready to come in. I could see it. Like, he's good enough to be traded for that tiny, tiny $8 million price.
I think Ryan Poles will let it be known that he's available. I don't think he'll shop him at this point just because, you know, you do need that number two. You know, Justin Fields last year played and he got hurt quite a bit. And as much as we don't really like Nick Foles that much, he is still a capable starting quarterback in the NFL. In a pinch, he can do the job if need be. You know, he's not a guy you want as your top guy. You know, he's no QB1, but I think as your backup, he'll be fine.
Andy Dalton?
Yeah, Andy Dalton, you know, who has the money to still come off the books all those void years. So as soon as he's officially released, you know, that's going to hit the cap as well. But I think with Foles, if someone comes around and offers a deal, they'll listen. But I think he may be worth more to Chicago as that veteran presence number two, because all the reports from last year was that Justin Fields, you know, he had a good relationship with those two vets, Dalton and Foles. So maybe he sticks around in that role. But I think regardless – I think the Bears need a third guy. I don't think he's on the roster now.
No.
I think they need a third quarterback to come in on the practice squad that has a closer skill set to what Justin Fields does, just so you have a guy waiting in the wings.
Okay, so I have to mention this about Nick Foles. In the wide world of the NFL is the land of spinning anything in a positive or negative direction, turning Mac into this aging, unproductive, hurt pass rusher just so that you can get lesser compensation. Do you think Ryan Poles is out there marketing? I mean, you know, this guy just scored 25 points and led the Bears to an outstanding late game comeback against the Seahawks. I mean, say what you will, the guy can play. Like, I could almost see that one spot start coming into it to say, guys still got it. Like, that late touchdown and late conversion was nothing other than old school Foles magic. You know what I mean?
Old school Foles magic.
What they need is they need to engage whoever is around the Mitchell Trubisky camp right now and all the buzz that Mitchell Trubisky has been getting in this offseason. They need to engage that group to do some Foles work to get a price. I think that if they were able to unload the contract and get something, it doesn't matter what, and he, you know, is comfortable with it or whatever, they can open up that money and go out and get a guy like Tyrod Taylor or someone like that to back up if he doesn't land a competition for a starting role. That would maybe be a little bit more closely aligned to what they're going to do with Fields. But I would welcome getting Nick Foles off the roster at any price.
Now, you mentioned what they would do with the money, and Jeff, that's a perfect segue into talking about free agency philosophy, right? Let's talk through what we think the Bears ought to do with their money, because sure, we could rattle off a whole bunch of names. We could talk about Brian Allen versus Ryan Jensen. We could talk about James Daniels, Austin Corbett, but I feel like the place to start here is Ryan Poles is entering his first offseason as the Chicago Bears GM. And Lester, what do you think he should do with the money? Are you looking to spend heavily on defense? Do you want offensive line investment? Are you thinking wide receivers? Where's your head at?
You know, I think we go to what Ryan Poles said at his press conference when he talked about, you know, the best way to help a young quarterback is get him a good receiving corps. Right? I think he's going to, if he does spend big money, it's going to be with a top-ish tier type of free agent at wideout. I think he's going to also look to spend money at center, maybe tackle once they decide what they're going to do with Tevin Jenkins. But I think if there's going to be something you're going to call a splash move, it'll be receiver. Maybe Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who I'm not really high on. Maybe Allen Robinson comes back if that bridge can be repaired at all. But I think you need to find a guy that you trust Justin Fields can learn and grow with for a few years, because as much as we all like Darnell Mooney, I don't think he's going to be that true elite number one that a team needs right now.
Jeff, what do you think? Because I know you and I were pretty in sync in the pre-show.
I think that given the market and of what where things are at, and then historically what has paid off in terms of where you invest your money, where you get good returns, I hope that Ryan Poles is going to spend the bulk of his like premium money at interior offensive line, because those contracts generally play out. They generally work out, and they generally are worth the money in the long run. And so that is specifically center. I think that if they miss out on Ryan Jensen, who I understand he's going to get big money and I'm comfortable with it. And if they don't get Brian Allen as the backup, that backup option they're going to have to use one of those picks in the second round, probably to get a guy that come in that can start right away at center. So you're going to have to spend some kind of premium money to pair with Justin Fields here. So do you want a veteran presence at center who can settle the offensive line, who can be a force multiplier along that group of five? And I'm willing to spend that money. You want to go out and try to get a quality tackle? There's not a lot out there. You'd have to shop at the top of the market. I mean, do you really think that you can go out and afford Teron Armstead? I'm not convinced that you can do such a thing. But that depends on what you think about Tevin Jenkins and all that. The thing about wide receiver, I see so many good wide receivers coming into the league in the last few years. Every year's class just has a ton of talent. You've now got two top 50 picks. I would hope that Ryan Poles would see that he can get good return on interior offensive line investment and free agency and use those picks, plural, to go after wide receiver. And maybe not both second rounders, maybe one second and one third, whatever. But like his day two picks, I think he should consider doubling up at wide receiver and filling the room with a couple of rookies, Darnell Mooney, and a couple of mid to lower tier free agent signings at wide receiver. Because I don't think that without the presence of a true number one wide receiver on the market, which they're all gone now, without that presence there, I don't think it's worth your money.
So to piggyback off of what you're saying, JB, and to talk to you, Lester, about the wide receiver spending, I think what scares me the most about the wide receiver market is that if you look back historically, it seems as if whenever you buy a wide receiver, you're buying them at the purchase price of one rung above whatever their playing level is. So Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's probably like a number three receiver, would not shock me if he's going to get $10 million a year, which is like a 20% increase from Taylor Gabriel's 2018, like $7 to $8 million a year, which matches the cap increase. That's all I'm saying. Like $10 million sounds ridiculous until you remember that the cap has gone up 20%. So we have to increase these deals accordingly. DJ Chark, probably a good number two receiver, is going to get paid like a low-end number one. Mike Williams, a very good number two receiver, just got paid like the Amari Cooper contract that I was on Twitter saying is probably too expensive, but and he got traded like an hour ago, so he's off the market. I don't see the option if Gallup is going back to Dallas. Like Christian Kirk, to me, is a good player, and he's not worth $15 million. Yeah. But Brian Allen, a center, worth $11 million, no question to me. Ryan Jensen, if you want to go designer brand on your center, I'll pay $15 million because I'm a huge believer. Maybe it's because I talked to you, Jeff, and Bill, who are all offensive linemen, in the understated impact of what a good veteran center can do for your offensive line. I mean, especially when you look at how these guys would be able to come in and assist Justin Fields, kind of like a coach on the field. I know that's super dorky to talk about, but when you've got a center that has been around the league and can adjust protections without needing your sophomore quarterback to do it for you, I think that's really valuable. And then guards never get crazy money. Like you could end up buying an offensive line and gasp, backloading some deals because you've got $120 million of cap space next year. Like you go low on initial cap hit, or cap hit, you could buy yourself an offensive line and head into the draft and draft all your wide receivers. And sure, you'd end up with a really young team that might not be ready to do more than compete for a wild card spot, even if Tyke Taylor got all these guys playing at a really high level by the end of the year. But by 2023, you'd start to have a young, affordable, and gelled unit that hopefully would move forward well, at least to me. Because I feel like when you look at the guard market, like, I don't know if you realize this, Lester, there's no less than four really good zone guards, whether it's Take or Lakin Tomlinson, Connor Williams, James Daniels, or Austin Corbett. A lot of players coming out of teams that are going to run similar offenses to the Bears that are putting guys on the market. Or you've got at center Ben Jones, Brian Allen, and what was it, Ryan Jensen. Like, you've got options at offensive line, whereas at wide receiver, I feel like you're going to be fighting all the other piranhas in the lake for the same guy and ending up paying way more than they're worth. At least that's what I'm thinking.
Oh, I'm with you. I mean, if it was me, I wouldn't spend buku bucks on a wideout. I would kind of let the market come to you. Like I said, I know with a guy like MVS, he will get overpaid. I hope that's not the guy they go with. But just going off what Poll said, he said he wants to get someone that comes in. And I do think that they are going to draft a guy. I think, you know, you have to start addressing that, because right now, who do they have on the roster? They have Mooney and they have Daz Newsome, and then they have two other practice squad guys. So you've got to bolster the receiving corps. I know Jarvis Landry could be cut by the Browns. You know, they just made a big trade for Cooper. That's the big rumor right now that he may be gone. I think you just got to find a guy that you trust, and you can pay him for maybe a 2 or 3 year deal. So that way you got him in. He's there like a security blanket while your rookies have a chance to develop. If the Bears had a pick in the first round, and you can get a guy like the Bengals did with Chase, if you know you're going to get a guy that comes in is going to be the legit stud off the bat, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, waiting for the second round, you can't go into the draft hoping one of your guys falls to you that's going to be your top receiver. I think you have to address that spot first. And then once the draft comes, you also address that spot, because you need three legit stud wideouts in today's NFL.
Yeah. I mean, it's not an easy gambit to walk, especially when the Bears are losing as much defensive talent as they are. I mean, right now, depending on where you – I mean, let's put it this way. I could talk about Thomas Graham at nickel. I could talk about Thomas Graham at outside corner because I really like the guy. But we're talking about a sixth-round pick playing one of three spots at corner, and the Bears really only have two corners worth naming. Like, there are a lot of positions that they need a guy at. They need a guy next to Roquan Smith at linebacker, assuming that you're not an Ogletree or Trevathan believer, which I am not. They need to find a three-tech defensive lineman. They need to find a second safety. Again, we've done this for 3 years now. Like, they need some help all across the defense. I don't want to ignore the defense, but maybe I sound like every nerd on Twitter. I feel like if the offense isn't fixed, if you haven't surrounded Justin Fields with talent, you haven't gotten that train out of the station, the defense doesn't really matter. Like, we saw Mitch Trubisky with an elite, if legendary, defense in 2018, and they got bounced in the first round. Say what you will about they were a kick away from winning the Super Bowl. The results are the results that they got bounced in the first round. So I want to see the Bears, from a philosophical perspective, move all that Mac money into the offense. And even if that means low cap hits in 2022, because they got $40 million in dead cap, they have an insane amount. The record, I think I saw last year when the Eagles did this, of teams with $40 million in dead cap or more is despicable. So we'll see if this Bears team really has the resources to be good in any sense. But I think that massive amount of cap that they have in 2023 and 2024 can come into play, because you move some of that money into the future. I know there are going to be plenty of people who are going to be furious, but it would really help them lock down some very solid players this year, if not outright stabilize the offense.
Yeah, I mean, the best wide receiver on the market is Allen Robinson, and it didn't go particularly well this last year. Now, obviously, it's a new regime, but is there enough of a bad taste in everybody's the mouth of everybody to just be like, yeah, we'll go on. He's from Detroit. Detroit has a need. I could see him want to go back to Detroit. Jacksonville has a need and an interest. I could see him going back to Jacksonville and, you know, returning there. But then after that, it gets real thin. So I guess that's my thing. I think that you're going to sign a couple of veterans to have steady presence. And then I think that you're going to go into the draft and needing needing to draft a couple of guys, and you're not going to get Ja'Marr Chase, but there's so many good players that are coming out. If you take a couple in the top 50 picks or top 75 picks, you're probably going to get early contributors. I mean, the Bengals, as good as Ja'Marr Chase is, yeah, he didn't come on until a little later in the year. T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd were having bigger years early on before Chase, you know, really took over and took control. So you do need multiple guys. I don't see that guy being available right now as a free agent. Maybe somebody shakes loose, but not right now. Do you want to get into more specific names as other free agents that you're interested in?
Sure, let's do it. I mean, at wide receiver, I don't want to make it sound like I'm asking for Ryan Poles to sign nobody. I just think that whether it's Auden Tate or Jamison Crowder or Cedric Wilson, that you can get more of your buoy guy, your wide receiver 3 or 4. I mean, hey, you know what? Yeah. I'll say it. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is going to get overpaid, but he would be a nice fit in what the Bears offense is supposedly going to be. I mean, I hate that I'm saying that, to be clear. I'm almost not even happy about this. But as far as having a wide receiver that can fly down the field, can get wide the heck open, blocks really hard, and apparently, according to reports, very astute and already has experience with the new offensive coordinator in his first role, I get it. Like, if the Bears are targeting him, I understand why. I don't know if the money will ever be worth it, but sometimes it never is with free agents, and you just hope that he's good enough to justify his role. But I do hope that the Bears are cheap-ish. We've talked about the offensive lineman. I know I'm excited about. I'm really curious to see if they sign a tackle, you know? Because Larry Borum is just good enough to not be a hole, right? He's just good enough and young enough to not be considered somebody who has to be replaced, but he's probably not a roster lock, or not roster lock, a starting role lock either. So if you can get the right deal for a Dwayne Brown, heck, if you could even get Trent Brown to agree to an amenable deal, maybe the Bears go in that direction, but you'd be almost immediately demoting Borum to swing. And I know that would not sit well with some fans, you know?
I think with Borum, the regime has to go into this offseason looking at him as a definite piece of the puzzle. You know, but they can't count on him being a starting, whether it's tackle or guard, wherever he ends up playing. You can't count on him being a guy that's going to be a starter. I think Tevin Jenkins, you assume he'll be a starter, whether to keep him at tackle or move him into guard. You know, you have to figure out that. You talk about James Daniels. Do they bring him back? I know there was some talk about his market being, you know, over $10 million a year. That's kind of pricey for him, considering what he's done, but he is really young still. Maybe his best football's in front of him. Maybe he fits the new scheme and the new offense a little better. So I would like to see James Daniels come back. We talked already about Brian Allen. In my mind, he's already a Bear. I just think it's such a no-brainer. It makes sense. It makes – yeah, exactly. He's from the area. You know, he is what the Bears need. He's not going to be the top center on the market. He's 26, 27 years old. So you can sign him to a pretty good deal. Count on him to be in Chicago for the next 4 or 5 years, you know, barring injury. And then that spot is set for your O-line. And then you build out from there and then see what happens. But again, what's Jenkins? What's Borum? This regime has to figure those things out.
Jeff, I thought you said it really well talking about free agents living up to their contracts, right? When you sign Olivier Vernon in free agency, a lot of times you're not going to find that electric star player that you thought, because unfortunately, if he hit the market, that means the other team didn't believe in him and had their reasons, right? But offensive, that's being very generic about wide receiver, about edge rusher. I know that I picked on a specific player, but it's more to say that offensive line, I think you can get real value out of. When you sign a guy for $11 million over the next 4 seasons, you can actually get that $11 million back in terms of their play level. And that's something that really excites me here in free agency. I think that there'll be plenty of 1-year, 2-year deals for the Bears, like short little things to just fill some holes. I think Al-Kadeen Muhammad is somebody that's almost assuredly going to come over from the Colts system. Another guy, I think he's an edge rusher. I think Zaire Franklin from Indianapolis, a linebacker they drafted in the 4th round 4 years ago, could also find his way to Chicago. But I think on defense, they're going to be relatively cheap, and their big splashes are going to come from that offensive line spot where they can try to build up. Think of it as like a small Cleveland offense, right? It's not going to be absolutely loaded with stars, and it's certainly not going to be the Saints offense, the offensive line that was almost all homegrown, but I bet they're going to invest pretty heavily there.
Yeah, I think you need to ask yourself a question. Why is this guy free? Why is this guy on the market, right? And there can be a number of different reasons. But if you have determined that, well, he's loose because there was a regime change, he doesn't really fit the new scheme, but he fits ours, those are good opportunities to bring those players into your building. If he's shaking loose because, you know, he was a malcontent and, you know, no one liked him and whatever, like, well, you're going to have to consider if you can bring him into a locker room that's strong enough to take that personality on, right? There are a number of reasons, but there are some that are good reasons why a guy might be out there. And if that's the case, or, you know, it's a guy that's late in his career that's looking for, you know, he's trying to hold on for one more year and you think you can get something out of him, you know, okay, those are okay to bring in too. You know, there are some guys that their team decided that they weren't the guy that they wanted to extend. So why would you give them that money? Right. And some teams are occasionally so talent rich or certain positions that maybe that makes sense to bring in. But for the most part, you know, there is, why would you pay the free agent premium, the 120% that it takes to bring them in the building, if their original team wasn't that interested in bringing them back? It's something you really have to consider with a lot of these guys. I think the Colts connections are always very interesting. I've mentioned Mo Alie-Cox before. There's a guy that I'm interested in bringing in. I think he'd be fun. And Malik Hooker, I think, is interesting. He would have played for Eberflus if Eberflus likes him. I think he's still out there as a free agent and would be an interesting guy that probably would be just above the vet minimum to play next to Eddie Jackson, and that could give Eberflus a lot of interesting, fun things to do on that back end. So those are guys that I've kind of thought about. Again, I agree with Lester that if Brian Allen isn't a Bear, it's hopefully because they signed Ryan Jensen, and I'm all in. If they don't get either of those two guys, and Ben Jones is a little too old for me. And Ben Jones he's not Alex Mack, right? He's not Rodney Hudson. Those are the success stories of these older centers that signed and they really solidify an offensive line and they really perform well. Ben Jones is fine, but he's not good enough to raise to that level, in my opinion, of a guy that has played at an elite level that's a little older. I want a younger guy if I can, you know, elite guy or younger guy, you know, somewhere in between there. If they miss on those, I'm going to start to watch the draft to see if Tyler Linderbaum's short arms are going to cause him to drop into the second round. And then I might be cheering pretty darn hard for Linderbaum to get to 39 and see if the Bears can get a young center to plug in there.
But even so, JB, I mean, one thing, first of all, I got to say, I have basically spent the entire offseason assuming that veteran center is the starter on next year's offensive line. Like, yeah. To me, a free agent veteran center makes truly all the sense in the world. And what has me worried just a little bit is that if they can't lock down one of these veteran centers, they have to teach another one. And I think center is a hard position to learn. If anything, I don't think people talk quite enough about how offensive line is a developmental position. It's very hard, unless you're Tristan Wirfs, to just trot out a rookie and they dominate. I mean, there's a lot of technique that these guys have to learn, especially when you go from facing the guy across from you at Rutgers to Jeffrey Simmons almost week to week. And he's just a almost random defensive lineman to pick out. That's not Aaron Donald. That's not Nick Bosa. That's not a lot of these guys that people have to face. But I remember when I did, oh gosh, this was years ago, did a big old case study on Charles Leno and looked at age and how it matters in offensive linemen across different positions. Their prime obviously is when people are going to play their best football, but in particular, rookie wide receivers and rookie running backs tend to start a little hotter than rookie linemen, who tend to take, let's say, 2 or 3 years to warm up, right? So like you're saying, Lester, James Daniels' best football could be in front of him. I mean, it's a position with a little bit more longevity. And so being able to bring in, like I said earlier, a veteran center that already knows how to make calls within an offense, to me, is invaluable because it means that you don't have to trot out, Cody Whitehair is somebody that people have talked about moving. I would hate that move, purely because he hasn't played center in as long as he has. And I think there's a very good reason for it. I mean, if Harry Highstand didn't want him there. And also Juan Castillo independently didn't want him there. I don't understand why I need to get excited about the new offensive line coach wanting him there, because it just seems to me like there's too many people that are saying he's not a good center.
I mean, he was fine when he was there. And I think the big reason why he was given the job back was because of how much him and Mitch got along. You know, Mitch trusted him. The Bears trusted him to make the calls at the time when Mitch was kind of struggling at that. So that's kind of why he got that gig back over James Daniels. I think in hindsight, it would have been the best for the Bears, you know, a few years ago to leave Daniels at center at the time. But, you know, there's things happen behind the scenes that, you know, they had to make a change. So I would like Daniels back. You mentioned Cody White here, you know, besides the possibility of some talk about him going to center, there's also possibility he could be a cap casualty. I mean, I think he should stick around just because you don't want to have, you don't want to gut the whole position. And while he did have a down year, you know, last season, he's still quality enough where you keep him in this spot and grow with him. But I think regardless, like you guys were talking about, they got to draft a guy in the interior, whether it's a center, whether it's a guard, whether a guy that can play both, a guy like Zion from Boston College. I think he'd be a good guy if he falls in the draft. You got to get younger on the O-line, and you got to get younger with quality top high-end picks, because the previous regime, besides Tevin Jenkins, you know, they really didn't spend, you know, top picks at that spot.
Now, the only thing, remember, Lester, that we got to think about is that if they were to cut Cody Whitehair, which I agree with you, I mean, Cody's not had a good last two seasons, and he showed real worrying signs even as early as 2019. Inconsistency is not what you want out of an offensive lineman paid, what, $12 million a year at this point? But if they cut him this year, they would actually take on $200,000 more dollars on their cap than they currently are. So it'd pretty much be a lock for a post June 1st, but you don't get a post June 1st cuts money earlier than June 1st. So unless the Bears spent just about every dollar that they had and then waited until June 1st to then sign their draft class, which, hey, I've seen some people do, that Cody Whitehair would be basically dubbed the money that you would take into the season, because teams like to have $5 to $10 million around training camp season just in case. Maybe they cut him, but it feels to me like he's going to be a Bear in 2022, which, at least like you're saying, what they want to do with Cody Whitehair changes the calculus of how you process that offensive line. Because somebody like Laken Tomlinson, who's a left guard and has been in San Fran for quite some time, to me makes a lot more sense if your plan is to ditch Cody, which you could do. I mean, it's not like I'm going to sit here and defend him, right?
Well, Okay. So his tape is what it is. It was bad.
Right.
If Poles comes in and sees that, which he's going to, he's going to know a lot more than us in watching O-line film. And he asks around and says, was this guy in the training room? Was he dealing with something that wasn't disclosed? Is this, you know, is he fighting something off? Or maybe talks to him. And if he had a clean bill of health, you know, relatively speaking, all linemen are hurt at all times with something. but if it was just kind of the normal wear and tear and there's no underlying issue that we didn't know about, that was a really bad year. It's a really concerning bad year. And you had some instability around you, but it's enough to be concerning. If it's an injury thing and it's going to get cleaned up, okay, we're just going to count on him to make it back to those levels. The year before, he played most of the year at center, and then when he was moved back, he's not a natural center. He struggles with some of the things that you need a center to do. When he got moved back to guard, he was playing pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah.
That the hope was that he was going to come in last year and he was going to play at that level that he ended the year before at guard, and he was just going to pick that up. I don't understand, like, just in my head just cannot wrap around how you go from a guy who looked really good at the end of one year and then have an entire year that's really not good at all, unless there's something that we don't know. There's a piece of information that we don't know, specifically an injury. Guys in the offensive line generally don't fall off a cliff like that. There's a little bit more of a step gradation down. So I do not understand Cody Whitehair's 2021.
And so
that's what I'm going to say. So you bet on him to get back to decent levels. And I think that's a fair bet.
Here's what I need to ask you guys, because I think that this is the question I know I would love as much offensive lineman input as I can get. When you are an offensive lineman and you know one of the guys next to you really struggles, Right. Because in my opinion, Cody Whitehair played the entire season right next to Sam Mustipher, as did James Daniels. And especially as the season wore on, every time they ran off outside zone, I saw them take extra effort to make sure Sam had his assignment handled, especially when they were playing some really good defensive tackles that would just annihilate plays. I mean, go back and watch week 4's game against, I think it was the Packers, and certainly the game against the Buccaneers, and you'll see Sam Mustipher giving up a lot of ground in the run game that kept things from getting off the board. How much does that affect an offensive lineman's play? If on a down-to-down basis, you have to make sure that Sam's got his assignment handled before you get back to yours. Because like you're saying, Jeff, I mean, it got to the point where Cody would get a basic one-on-one assignment and just get torched. That's on him. It can't all be Sam Mustipher's fault. But does having five guys that trust each other make as much of a difference as I've come to understand it does, like even on an individual play level?
Right. So there's multiple levels, there's multiple things. And then depending on the position, right. So Lester spent most of his playing career at tackle because he's tall and, you know,
gifted
genetically to be able to play tackle. Whereas I am not that tall. I'm, you know, decent height, but not the 6'4", you know, that you need to play tackle. So I played most of my snaps in the interior. But if you're talking about like run game stuff, you know, your first goal is in some run scheme, some run plays, is that you're going to take on a double team, and you're going to, one of you is going to slide off to the next level, but you're not going to do that until you have a good enough feel that your teammate has that guy in a position that he needs to complete the block. Right. So if you come off the ball and you're the guard and your goal here is to double team to the defensive tackle, and then you're going to move to the second level to take on a linebacker, you're not going to leave that until you feel like that block's secure. Because if you leave too soon to go get the linebacker, the defensive tackle slips the center and is going to make the play in the backfield. That's a worse outcome. So you're going to stay with that block until you feel comfortable with it. If you're in a position where you feel like you can't leave that block because it's not won yet, and you feel uncomfortable, and you've seen it on film so much that the center still isn't there, you're going to hang with that block too long, and you're going to miss the next level, right? But offensive line, a lot of that is going to be about feel. It's going to be about working together for a long time. And as Lester and I have talked about, I want five guys that can play. I don't want, you know, two stars and three scrubs. I want five dudes that can play, because eventually they're going to learn that feel part of the game, the part that you can't really describe that well, that doesn't make a lot of sense unless you've necessarily done it. And I think that might be part of it, because you did have a weaker player playing center. But like you said, there was a lot of plays where he's just getting beaten pass pro.
Yep.
And that has nothing to do with Sam Mustipher. That has nothing to do with Cody Whitehair.
Yeah, I think part of it is we've heard reports in the past about Cody Whitehair is really hard on himself. He gets in his own head at times. We've heard this talked about by some of the guys that covered a team. So I think that could have been part of it. Part of it was maybe he just wasn't comfortable with what's happening around him. Maybe he wasn't comfortable having a brand new left tackle next to him, even though with a guy like Peters is a veteran. Maybe he just had to get that comfort level. Maybe he just never felt comfortable. So maybe he got in his own head. I know there's a lot of things like you guys are saying where it's about the feel of it, you know, and maybe he just didn't trust it. You know, I don't want to turn into a bash Sam Mustipher thing, because I think Sam Mustipher, for where he came from, for what he's done in his NFL career, outstanding.
UDFA.
I'm rooting for him. You know, the Bears brought him back. I would love to see him, you know, bulk up a little more, work on his technique a little more. I would love to see him come in and win that job. I think that's a great story. But the reality is, last year he was a bit of a liability at times. And I think you got to get that interior figured out, and whether it's a free agency, whether it's, you know, bringing back James Daniels, moving him to center, or even if it's Cody Whitehair going to center, you got to have someone at center you trust to get the job done. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, we've alluded to this, right? But I can't help but feel like at the end of the day, the priority here in free agency needs to be building up the offense, move that spending from from the defense to the offense. And I think that's best done with the offensive line. I mean, it again, the free agent or the draft is just a great way to skim value out of the wide receiver spot. Cause like we talked about, those can be a lot of really expensive contracts, but I can't see Justin Fields, who I love him. Super accurate downfield. The what is it? Brick Wall Blitz on Twitter did a whole bunch of analysis on deep ball on deep balls, and he came up with Justin Fields as a top five deep passer in the NFL last year, which I feel like the eye test backed up. But we know the kid likes to hold on to the ball, so we're going to need an offensive line that can give him even just an extra 0.5 seconds, right? Even an extra half second, quarter second. Everything makes a difference with a kid that mobile. And if you can draft some wide receivers that can help him out, great. Any linebackers, or as we move into closing thoughts, other defensive positions that are like guys that you have your eyes on, or are, do you guys feel like it's just a matter of seeing how the chips fall and who the Bears bring in?
Yeah, I think with JB said it, they're going to look to the Colts. The Colts have a lot of free agents on defense. They know the scheme. They understand the hits principle that they want to do in Chicago. So I think bringing in guys like that, you know, you're going to get by for the next couple of years with these lower end hustle players, you know, the real try hard guys that understand what they want to do. And I think the Colts have a couple backup linebackers that, you know, they can kind of come in. They could probably, you know, buy some time. You know, we talked about, you know, you talk about a guy like Hooker who knows the scheme. You know, I'm not high on him, but, you know, a cornerback of the Colts, Xavier Rhodes is out there as well. You know, you got to bring in a guy that knows the cover two, the Tampa two scheme, and understands the philosophy behind it, because it's a different than what the Bears had, even though it was a lot of zone stuff a year ago. It's still a little different, but plus, like you said, you know, who did have a corner besides Jalen Johnson? Thomas Graham, I love. I think he has a lot of potential. Can't count on him.
Right.
You know, I mean, even if you bring in a guy like Xavier Rhodes, who I'm not high on, he is still going to be a huge step up from Duke Shelley and Kendall Vildor.
Right. I can't help but feel the same way, that it's a matter of buying time, just holding spots down on defense, that you're grabbing guys that you don't have to coach that much. I mean, I love the fact that the Bears fundamentally took the entire Colts defensive staff with them, if only because it means that whether you like the defense or not, they're speaking the same language. On offense, everybody's so young. Honestly, I want to just throw as much talent as you can at that side of the ball, because they need as many guys that they can work with as possible. And hey, if you want to talk more about drafting a wide receiver, I'll throw out that what's his name? I've just called him Tyke. Is it Tyke Taylor, the wide receiver coach? He might be one of the most, let's call it, name brand coaches that they brought in this year, their wide receiver guy. And I think that spells well for drafting. I mean, it's just a matter of, at least I think, sign whatever you need to on free agency, during free agency, so that you don't have to go into the draft with a bunch of needs. But frankly, I feel like the Bears are looking down the barrel of a season where they're going to try to get a low talent defense to perform at a medium level and invest as much as they can into making their offense as high talent as possible.
So what you're saying is the new wide receiver coach is a bit of a step up from the guy they've had here the last few years?
A bit, to say the least. And thank you, Jordan Tyke Tolbert. Yes. But he's like, we've gone from now Furry, who I'm not 100% sure really did anything. The only wide receiver that we saw develop.
He did lift.
Oh, he lifted.
And he was fired up and he screamed a lot. Yeah.
But we only saw one wide receiver develop, and it's the guy who during COVID went out there and called plays to himself. So outside of Mooney, nobody got a lot better. We'll see what happens with the Bears going forward. But JB, any closing thoughts before free agent frenzy?
You're not going to fix it all in 1 year. Like, right. let's keep that in mind, right? That if everyone thinks that, hey, this roster is going to be ready to compete for a Super Bowl when August rolls around, it's not the case. That's not the goal this year. The goal this year is to protect Justin Fields and to give him enough weapons so that you can see if Justin Fields is the guy. We all like Justin Fields a lot, but he has not proven that he is going to be that top 10, potentially top five quarterback yet by any stretch of the imagination. And so the goal this year is to surround him with enough talent so that you can properly evaluate him. That's the goal. It's also to avoid, you want to avoid not putting anything around him so that you ruin him, which has happened to plenty of quarterbacks, right? So that I guess is like goal number one, is the low bar. But the real goal here is, can you protect him and can you give him enough weaponry so that you can evaluate him at this time next year and say, yes, this is the guy. We're going to keep moving forward with him.
And at the risk of starting a fire, JB, in 2018 and 2019, that's exactly what the Bears did with Trubisky. And from there, the organization obviously fell apart. But at the time, it was a really nicely performing Tariq Cohen. Allen Robinson was one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. Taylor Gabriel was a solid number two. And Anthony Miller was a super talented draft pick that never really panned out. I'm well aware that I'm not talking about, like, you know, the Dom Perignon of offensive weapons. But I expect to see a similar blueprint here in the second year of a cheap offensive quarterback contract, because if you don't know what you have by year three, you don't know how to make your decisions, like whether it's moving on or whether it's fully investing. You got to get what you can to know what you need to know come 2023, or else you're going to be shooting in the dark.
Yeah, I'm excited for what they're going to do. I love, like I said, I love this part of a franchise. I love the resetting aspect of it, having a new offense, a brand new defense. I think it's exciting to see what Luke Getsy does, because the Matt Nagy system. what the hell was the Matt Nagy system? You know, I talked about, I was on a show yesterday, and I was talking about this a little bit. Is, you know, you look at the Andy Reid stuff, you know, we didn't see none of that stuff. Yeah, it's not the same talent, but, you know, where are the rub routes? Where are the guys, you know, scheming things open? You know, like if you watch Andy Reid, there is no, you know, 30 hitches a game. It's a total different offense. I don't know what Matt Nagy was doing, but I am excited to see the Luke Getsy system, a more Shanahan-esque flow to the offense. You know, I want to see Justin Fields on the move. I want to see Justin Fields in the play action. You know, I'm excited to see where this team goes. And like JB said, it's all about getting the pieces around Justin Fields to see if he's your guy. I think he's the guy. I think a lot of Bears fans think he's the guy, but the Bears have to see that he's going to be the guy moving forward.
Got to know. I mean, if you don't know, you throw more years away. But I'm excited. I think this is a great time to be a Bears fan, because we really do get to ride in the land of low expectations, but potentially high yield. I mean, last year, everybody had low expectations and there was nothing good to come of it. You know, like we were almost hoping, not really, but if the Bears did go to the playoffs with Andy Dalton, oh gosh, maybe people get extended. If they lose, we get to spend an entire year watching a bad football team, and great, now we move on. But this year, we've got, I mean, you want to talk about the young quarterbacks out there that are ready to take a step? If things work out, Justin Fields could have a 25, 30, 35 touchdown season. I mean, this could be a lot of fun, even if you're losing football games. Because I don't know about you guys, but even the some games that the Bears won last year just felt like a grind all the way down to the final score, where it'd just be two teams. I go back to the Giants game that technically the Bears dominated. It was still not fun to watch on offense. And so
nothing Matt Nagy did was fun to watch on offense.
That it's funny terrible. You mentioned the system thing, Lester. I can't help but feel like every once in a while you'd see a play that clearly came from like Kansas City genetics, but especially come 2021, there was just so much mush where they had like half thought out an idea, or maybe it was a fully thought out idea that was just half coached or half installed. And it was just gross. Football. Hopefully Getsy and the offense can keep everything on the same page. But yeah, JB,
I was just gonna say that if it does work out, if Justin Fields is the guy, the NFC is open. Rodgers. I don't know how many more clarified butter cleanses Rodgers can do to keep himself playing, but it's not going to be forever. You know, let's say it's a year or two. Russell Wilson's now in the AFC. You don't have a lot of premier proven talent. I mean, who knows what's happening with Kyler Murray? And I'm not even sure you can necessarily call him a premier talent. I mean, he's very talented, but I don't even know where you put him in the quarterback rankings. And so for the vast majority of the best quarterbacks are in the AFC right now. And in Justin Fields has this opportunity to take the Bears somewhere, because there's just a real dearth of talent at quarterback in the NFC right now. And if the Bears have one of the few guys, you could see the Bears competing for NFC championships in the near term.
Yep. I think what the Lions do at quarterback is going to be a lot of fun here in the draft. I mean, a lot of weird choices, especially if they don't draft a quarterback. It'll remind me a whole lot of when they drafted that corner whose name escapes me with number 4 overall and still wrote out. But look, it's not even a dunk that hard. It was just so weird to pass on Justin Herbert, regardless of having Matthew Stafford or not. But I digress. The point is, you've got Kirk Cousins, who I think could be fairly described as he is who he is. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who's aging, still super good. Bears are probably going to be competing for a wild card spot just about as long as 12 is still in the division, but he can't be there forever anymore. The Lions have to make a decision. And just to throw this out there, if Justin Fields gets all the time in the world, somebody said this in the comments, I don't want to steal it from you, Jordan, you don't need the wide receivers to be dynamos. Take a look at who Russell Wilson has been working with, the obvious comp for Justin Fields in Seattle. Guys like Tyler Lockett that are really good route runners can get open downfield given time. And so you throw a couple second or third round picks at this spot, I think you could end up with some really good talent alongside Darnell Mooney that he's got an obvious connection with that, like you're saying, JB, could make this team more competitive than we realize. Super Bowl? Nobody said that. But
I'll say it. Let's go. Super Bowl.
Nope.
Bears, Super Bowl. No, not yet.
Okay. Disagree. It would take some magic to get them there, I think, before 2023 or 2024, but way more fun. I mean, the teams that can score, if the Bears become one of them, you just never know. Like exactly what we saw with the Bengals this last year. Maybe not the greatest example, but the Bills, certainly, who could just score like crazy. So we'll see. Either way, the next four or so days, I think, are going to be huge for the Bears. And I don't expect them to sit on the sidelines. It's just a matter of, do they spend their money on Terron Armstead and throw $20 million at somebody that could play as few as 8 games a season? Or are they spending it on deals we like, for lack of a better word? We'll see. Either way, thank you guys so much for jumping on. Jeff, what do you got in the works? We'll go to Lester next.
I'm going to start laying out some plans for a special podcast series. I'm not going to reveal the name of it yet. I'll keep that a surprise. I'm pretty excited about it, though. But I'm going to be interviewing fans and trying to get a pulse of the fan base as we head into this new era.
Awesome. Lester, what about you?
You know, it's free agency frenzy, so the site will be jumping nonstop. We'll have trackers up every day. You know, we're going to have so much content because the Bears are going to make so many brand new players in the next few days.
And on my end, I know I'm excited to get back into whether it's draft content, free agency analysis, everything. I'm coming out of a bit of a family hole. I'm having a child, which has made things wild, and it did not help that Elden Ring came out just 2 weeks ago and completely consumed me. So between those two, I've been AWOL. I'm coming back. But either way, thank you guys so much for listening in. Always fun doing this sort of thing. And until next time, Bears fans, bear down. And thanks so much for bearing with me.